This is LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060 973. Tweet at LBC. Text 84850.
12:48 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. A remarkable show in many ways, a remarkable week, but such is the state of British politics. And it remains remarkable until you contemplate the landscape on the other side of the Atlantic, where Donald Trump's travails increase. Although I don't know whether Simon Marks, our correspondent, would agree with this. And I don't think it applies to him because his coverage is so perspicacious and clear. But for those of us who aren't immersed in it daily, it's becoming very hard to make salient observations, because if you were to describe the Trump bandwagon as having rattling wheels, people would point out that we've been here before, we've seen predictions of imminent impeachment or political demise or even medical decline pretty much since he arrived in the White House and even before. So two things. Michael Bloomberg seems set or seems to be considering a presidential bid. Simon will explain why that's important. And as Maggie Haberman famously observed, when everything is chaos, nothing is chaos. Is that where we are with Donald Trump? Simon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, James. I mean, I think that's a very important point. You know, this week particularly, and you can say this most weeks, there's just been a bewildering series of developments. In any 24-hour cycle, you can barely keep up. I mean, yesterday we got the disclosure that Michael Bloomberg might be entering the presidential race. That, of course, is not tied to President Trump, but we know that the Trump White House is absolutely furious about the prospect of public impeachment hearings, which get underway next week. The Washington Post, in its Friday morning edition, has got the first revelations of the claims that are made in the book about the inner workings of the Trump administration by Anonymous, the senior Trump administration official who previously scribed an opinion piece for the New York Times describing a resistance to Donald Trump that he or she claimed was underway within the White House. And in this book, he or she seems to be claiming it is still to some extent underway, although cowed in terms of what it's willing to do. The author of the book says that earlier this year there was consideration given to a mass resignation by a large group of White House officials within the Trump administration, but they then bottled it and decided not to do it because they were fearful that if they all left, according to Anonymous, Donald Trump would simply replace them with even harder line figures. Ooh. Now, any one of these various developments in normal times would be seismic, but they happen day after day after day to the point where, you know, you think back just a few weeks, you can barely remember that Donald Trump is the president who at one point was suggesting that the United States ought to be buying Greenland. I mean, this is an extraordinary speed with which developments take place, and the Trump White House capitalizes on that consistently by doubling down. We've seen so many shifting defenses of the president's behavior now. First of all, we were told he didn't do anything wrong in that phone call with the Ukrainian leader. It was all perfect. Now the White House and even Donald Trump on occasion is saying, well, even if it wasn't perfect, it didn't rise to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors, and therefore it's not impeachable. And this week has also, I think perhaps its lowest ebb, witnessed Senator Lindsey Graham, one of the Republicans in the U.S. Senate who will ultimately decide President Donald Trump's fate, advancing a new defense of the president's conduct, which is essentially that he's too stupid to have put together any kind of quid pro quo with Ukraine. Lindsey Graham says he's not prepared to read any of the transcripts relating to witness depositions that have been taken with regard to impeachment, because as far as he's concerned, this administration simply lacks the competence to have committed the crimes that are alleged. I mean, when, as the Americans say, life gives you lemons, you make lemonades, Lindsey Graham is swimming in it today.
This might be a stupid question, but it's emblematic of how confused everything is, which some people believe was the plan all along, of course, to subvert any concept of objective truth. But when Donald Trump keeps saying, read the transcript, can we read the transcript? The full, unexpurgated, unredacted transcript.
No, you can read a partial transcript. I mean, we now know, because of testimony that has been offered on Capitol Hill by a senior national security official, that he says key phrases were omitted from the transcript, and he made attempts to get them restored to the transcript that were unsuccessful. But read the transcript. I mean, go ahead and read the transcript. It's absolutely clear even in the partial transcript that Donald Trump is saying literally to the president of the Ukraine, I need you to do us a favor. And it's very clear what the favor is. The favor is digging up dirt about Joe Biden, in exchange for which I'll let you go ahead and buy some more anti-tank missiles, and maybe we'll come up with a way of releasing the $400 million in military assistance that was being frozen at the time. And this, by the way, James, is why key figures around President Trump, including Vice President Mike Pence, urged him not to release the partial transcript, because they knew how damaging this document was going to be to him. So to see, you know, people sitting behind Donald Trump at rallies wearing T-shirts that say read the transcript, I suspect it's a pretty safe bet that the vast majority of them have not, in fact, read the transcript. And if they did, might see that it is not a perfect communication with the Ukrainian president at all.
By any stretch of the imagination. But, I mean, if you were to try to contain his modus operandi into a single sentence, it would be that he keeps saying stuff until people believe it, regardless of whether or not it's true.
Yes, well, I mean, it's the old line about the bigger the lie, the more people will eventually believe it, right? I mean, the old Nazi line. There are very few facts involved in anything that the White House says about this impeachment inquiry. They say it's not constitutional. Well, of course it's constitutional. Impeachment is written into the Constitution. They have no fact-based defense of the president's conduct. They've struggled to come up with one, which is why Lindsey Graham is now coalescing around the notion that the president is simply too stupid to have possibly committed the crimes that are being
described. So just
described.
To clarify on that one, Simon, is Lindsey Graham's argument that even if technically crimes have been committed, Donald Trump is too stupid to have realised he would have been committing them? Or is it that he would be too stupid to have done the things that all of the evidence suggests he has actually done, if that
makes
sense.
I think the word argument might be slightly overstating Lindsey Graham is coming up with. But, I mean, what Lindsey Graham is saying is that White House policy towards Ukraine was incoherent. Every official, he says, tells a different version of the story. Some say there was a quid pro quo, some say there wasn't. That, by the way, itself isn't entirely true. The vast majority of officials who have given evidence so far say there was indeed a quid pro quo, and the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, who suffered from a bad case of amnesia, has suddenly got over it and returned to Capitol Hill to revise his testimony to say, yes, indeed, he not only recalled that there was a quid pro quo, but he now remembered that he was essentially the architect of it.
I'm going to pause you again there, because these are such mad times.
Absolutely.
I mean, that in any normal circumstances would be an event of epic importance.
Yes, absolutely.
But here we are in Trump's America, almost glossing over it as the latest sort of chapter in a whole saga of nonsense.
It's very clear what Republicans are trying to do and what the White House is trying to do. Through the sheer force of Donald Trump's personality, particularly unleashed on Twitter and at those rallies, and through a general Republican exhibition of more front than Harrods, they are going to argue that even if the president did this, the Democrats are far worse, and it should be overlooked, and he should not be convicted at trial in the Senate. And honestly, right now, if, you know, the Democrats are on the fast track to impeachment in the House of Representatives, Donald Trump will be impeached before Christmas. I mean, that seems absolutely clear. That is the timetable that the Democrats have now laid out. That means the new year will dawn with a trial in the Senate. And just as Democrats exonerated President Bill Clinton in the Senate and failed to convict him after he was impeached by the House of Representatives over the Monica Lewinsky scandal, so too Republicans right now, it seems, will exonerate Donald Trump.
Yes.
And the man who has completely rewritten the rule book of electoral and presidential politics in this country will be poised potentially to become the first president ever impeached, then to go on and win re-election next November. I mean, that's the possible history that could get written here.
And that is why, I suppose, the demolition or the diminishment of facts is so alive and so crucial to every stage. In 10 seconds, haven't we been here before with Michael Bloomberg?
We have been. We were almost here a few months ago with Michael Bloomberg, but he decided not to get into the race because, like so many others, he concluded that Joe Biden had got the presidential nomination sewn up. Like so many others, he has now concluded that the field of Democrats seeking the party's presidential nomination is deeply uninspiring. Whether he's the man to inspire them, I think, is an open question. But this does indicate that Michael Bloomberg may be one of several candidates potentially out there thinking of making a late entry into this race. Do not necessarily conclude that the men or the women you're seeing on the stage right now, you know, one of them will eventually emerge as the standard bearer. There could be more outsiders coming.
Simon Marks, as always, many thanks indeed for your time and energies. Ah, crikey. That's it from me for another week. I shall join you on Monday morning from 10. Have a lovely weekend. Here's Sheila Fogarty.
Impeached by Christmas. I mean, it just sounds nice, doesn't it? It's what I asked Santa for, so that's good.